you know you're in fellowship with God if you're walking in the truth, you're in a local church that's teaching God's word, and you're confessing your sins. But to know God is an advance on that. And that means, have I come to the point in my experience where I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and that my behavior has been to some degree transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of my mind?
What does it mean to know God? What does John mean in his epistle when he talks about knowing God? Is he referring to eternal salvation or something else? Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace in Focus, a ministry of Grace Evangelical Society. We're so glad that you've decided to join us today. Well, let's jump right into our discussion with Sean and Bob. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
Today we have a really interesting topic. Our topic is, what does it mean to know God and what does it mean to know Christ according to the Bible? You might have an idea about what that means. You might assume a meaning, but we want to know what the Bible talks about when it says we ought to know God. Now, some people think that is a salvation issue. And they go to a passage such as 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, and they say that this is a test of whether or not we are born again. Let me read that passage for you. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, Bob, clearly that is saying that unless you are keeping Jesus' commandments, you are not born again. Isn't that obvious from this text?
But good try there, Sean. It doesn't say anything about born again in this passage. It talks about knowing God.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
Well, there are some passages that talk about knowing God as something which is true of every believer. Paul talks about knowing God or being known by him. That is positionally true. But there are many passages where knowing God is something which is true of our experience. And this passage is saying we know him in our experience if we are Christ-like, if we are godly, if we are keeping his commandments.
All right, so what is this kind of idea about knowing him in our experience? Can you unpack that for us? What does that mean?
Yeah, to know Christ in our experience is an advance on fellowship. I think 1 John is all about fellowship, and we'll talk about the purpose of it in a minute. But fellowship with God is something a brand new believer has. A baby Christian has fellowship with God and will maintain fellowship with God as long as they are confessing their sins, 1 John 1:9, and continuing to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. But in order to know God, a baby Christian must advance to the point what Paul would call a spiritual Christian. That is the person that John says keeps his commandments. And so this would be, in my experience, I have grown to the point where I am now a mature Christian.
So let's say by analogy, is this something kind of like you get accepted to study physics at a university? And yeah, you've been accepted into the program and you know a little bit about physics. But as you go through the program, class after class, year after year, and you progress into graduate studies and maybe into a PhD, then you really know physics inside and out.
That's a good illustration. Or another illustration would be marriage. Okay, you've been married, what, 15 years?
13.
Okay, well, we've been married 42, so 29 years more than you have. And I would say I knew my wife fairly well when we were married, but I didn't know her nearly as well after we had been married 5 years. I knew her a lot more after 5, a lot more after 10. Now, after 42 years, I know her pretty well, but I expect I'll get to know her better if the Lord tarries and we're married 50 or 60 years. I'll grow in my knowledge of my wife.
All right, so that kind of puts a different spin on the whole purpose of 1 John. I think broadly speaking, you can say there are two ways of reading it. On the one hand, you can say it's the tests of life view. And the idea is that 1 John is written to give you tests to know if you're born again. And the other view is you can call the test of fellowship view.
Right.
And that is to say, this gives you tests to know whether you really know God deeply in your experience. Is that about right?
That's about right. Some people go to 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How does it go on there?
Things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
So some people say that's the purpose of all of 1 John. I would say that's the purpose of 1 John 5, 6 through 13, or especially 9 through 13. But other people say the purpose is 1 John 1, 3 through 4.
That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
It seems to me that it makes more sense to have the purpose statement at the beginning of the letter that he has. He's telling us that this is why he's writing the letter. And you also have a statement at 2:1.
He says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous."
So these things I write to you refers to 1:5 through 2:2. Then again in 2:26.
"These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you."
Yeah, now there he's writing about the false teachers he's been talking about in verses 18 and following. And so there are multiple places in the book where he's saying, "These things I am writing to you." 5:13 fits within the context of 5:9 through 13, which is dealing with assurance. But the whole book, the purpose of the whole book is 1:3 and 4 is fellowship.
So it's basically like when you're reading a book and each chapter says, "This is what I'm going to explain to you in this chapter."
Right.
And so 1 John isn't about just one thing necessarily. You have to look at these different purpose statements to see what that section is about.
Yes. However, the overarching purpose statement, I think, is found in 1:3 and 4. And I think all of the sub-purpose statements fit within that.
So it all fits with knowing whether or not, or being able to have fellowship with who? Fellowship with who?
Fellowship with God, and of course, the apostles as well. He says, "You may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." So it's fellowship with God, and also, of course, ultimately fellowship with the apostolic circle. Even though the apostles died 2,000 years ago, in a sense, if we are abiding in the teaching they've left us and we are keeping the commandments, then we are abiding with the apostles.
So in chapter 2, verse 3, John says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." So that know him is not know him as initially as in that moment when you're born again. This is, if you're keeping his commandments, then you're really in deep relationship with God. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. And if you think about John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to Philip, and he says, "Have I been with you," verse 9, "so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip?" Well, obviously, Philip knew Jesus. He knew who he was. But because of the dialogue going on here, it's clear that Philip does not yet understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. He does not understand that to see Jesus is to see the Father. And so he hasn't grown to a level of intimacy with Jesus that he should have. In the same way, when we're looking here at chapter 2 and verse 3, we know that we know him if we are keeping his commandments, because to know Jesus is to be like Jesus. In other words, if I am a person who is rebelling against God, then I'm lying if I say I know God in my experience. Isn't that what the next part goes on to say? "He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar."
So it's kind of like me and Abby. If I ever make something with gluten, pasta or bread or something, that kind of proves that I don't really know her because she doesn't eat gluten.
That's exactly right. I'm sure she'll tell you, too.
Yeah, she'll tell me. She'll let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone wants to know how deep their fellowship is with Jesus, one thing they can do is to look at their behavior.
Yes. Ultimately, it seems to me, you know you're in fellowship with God if you're walking in the truth, you're in a local church that's teaching God's word, and you're confessing your sins. But to know God is an advance on that. And that means, have I come to the point in my experience where I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and that my behavior has been to some degree transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of my mind. That's what John is talking about here. In fact, when he says in him, you notice what he goes on to say, by this we know that we are in him. In 1 John, to be in him is not like Paul's reference to be in Christ, where it refers to all born-again people. To be in him is to be in him in your experience, in your fellowship. In fact, he goes on to make that clear. After he says, by this we know that we're in him, he says, he who says he abides in him, to be in him is to abide in him, ought to walk as he himself walked. So in other words, what he's saying here in 2:3-6 is this. If you say you know God, but you're not walking as Jesus walked, then you really don't know Jesus. It would be kind of like saying, my father trained me to live like a Wilkin would live. But if I wasn't living the way my father taught me to live, he would say, you know, you don't really know me.
It kind of reminds me of sometimes when you're ministering to people on the street, let's say homeless people or drug addicts, a lot of them will confess to being born again. And that's entirely possible. All it takes is just to believe in Jesus for eternal life and you'll be born again at that moment. But then other people would say, oh, I'm just mean, God are just fine. And they're homeless on the street. I know him really well. And they're about to shoot up. They would be liars. The truth would not be in them because they're not living according to his commandments. So they might be born again, but it's not true that they would be abiding in Jesus.
Right.
And that's true also of someone who's, let's say, a man who has left his wife and he's living in an adulterous relationship. And he might come to you and say, no, I'm a very spiritual person. But we would be able to say, no, you don't know him because you're not abiding in him as you should be.
That's exactly right. Now, in the case of the homeless people, as you know, a lot of those people have mental illness.
Sure.
And so how culpable they are, that's between them and the Lord. But the truth is, you're right. A person does not know God unless he is living in a Christ-like way. And so the call here is for us to be like Christ. If you want to know God, there's not a big secret about this. The way in which you know God is by keeping his commandments, by being more like Christ. And that happens by the Spirit of God taking the Word of God, renewing your mind, which transforms your behavior. It's what John says here. He who says he abides in him, that is, he abides in Christ's words, ought also to walk just as he walked. That's our call.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that discussion about the tests of life or the tests of fellowship view and pinpointing John's real purpose in writing. A great question, am I knowing God by abiding in Christ? If you enjoy our broadcast, we think you'll enjoy our free magazine, which you can sign up for at Grace Evangelical Society's website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's full of wonderful articles and answers to questions you or someone you know might be asking. We also would encourage a gift to this ministry at faithalone.org. It is much appreciated and helps us to sustain this ministry. Tomorrow's broadcast will close the week with a discussion about Lordship salvation and the free grace position. So I hope you'll join us for that important topic as we seek to keep grace in focus.